under the heading Pillars of Faith. We hear about the Triune God. No headaches, only hallelujahs. The words roll off our lips easily enough. Triune, Trinity. We've been taught from early on that God is triune. But that easy familiarity with this description of God belies the fact that anyone who tries to reason it through is bound for a headache. There is, in this context, a logical impossibility in saying one can be three. It is understandable why practicing Jews and Muslims reject the Christian position when the subject of the one true God comes up. Our understanding of God as one God, yet three persons, is a mystery, a truth that humans cannot arrive at by their own powers of observation and reasoning. A mystery, by definition, must be revealed to humans. But the source of this revelation is certain and sure, for Holy Scripture teaches the Trinity. The Bible teaches there is but one God. A famous passage from Deuteronomy asserts the singularity of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Chapter 6, verse 4. Yet the Bible also reveals that within this divine being there are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person exists separately from the others, yet has all the attributes of God, eternal, all-powerful, ever-present. Perhaps most importantly of all, what John says of God can be said of each of them. God is love. 1 John 4:16. And what is true of our duty to the one true God is due each of these persons as well. Faith, worship, obedience. It is worth remembering that the words Trinity and Triune are not found in the Bible. They are words coined by Bible teachers to express what is clearly taught in Scripture. The Old Testament is perhaps less explicit about the existence of God as three separate but equal persons, but the Trinity is always there behind the story of God's dealings with mankind. Just look, for instance, at the first verses of Genesis. In verse 1, we hear, "In the beginning God," that is the Father, "created." In verse 2, "the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." In verse 3, God begins his creative activity through the Word. "Then God said, let there be light." John's Gospel makes it clear that the Word spoken of in chapter 1 is the Son. The Word was with God, and without him, that is the Word, nothing was made that was made. Then after much of the world has been called into existence, we come to verse 26, where God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." With whom would God be possibly discussing his next move, if not among the persons of the Godhead? The triune aspect of God is explicit in the New Testament. For instance, with Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, in his instruction to the disciples on the way to Gethsemane, especially, for instance, John 15:16, and of course, in his great commission that we should baptize in the name, note the singular name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28. The point is that since the Bible's testimony is clear on this matter, we should not give ourselves headaches trying to reason out how could three be one or one be three. Leave the headaches to the devil, who has used man's impatience with this teaching to generate many heresies and to lead many souls astray. He gets the headache because he can never overcome the most important attribute of God, love times three. For that is the great truth of our God and Savior. All three persons are working for and dedicated to our salvation. Just as Paul assured the Corinthian Christians at the end of his second letter, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Chapter 13, verse 14. With such a God blessing our souls, what more is there to say than Hallelujah, praise the Lord? This article was written by Peter Rime, a former pastor who now teaches English at the University of Wisconsin-Stout. He makes his home in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.